with my next guest. Who knew their, well, his brother and her brother-in-law would eventually become the mayor of Chicago? Who knew Matt McGill, who's one of my good friends, would still be in contact with them? Who knew that their son, who went to the Naval Academy, would now be teaching in, as a professor
in Colorado?
I mean, it is just amazing. Joining me in the studio, and it's my honor to do this, Ernest and Teresa Sawyer. The Salvation Army is going to honor this couple for over a decade of service with the Salvation Army. It's their annual civic luncheon, and two of its highest awards are going to the Ernest and Teresa. It's Tuesday, May 8th at 11 o'clock at the Hilton in Chicago. The William Booth Award, which recognizes an individual who demonstrates dedication to the Salvation Army's goals of service to humankind, as well as outstanding service to the community, will be awarded to Ernest and Teresa Sawyer for their involvement with the Salvation Army for more than a decade. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you, thank you very much.
Pull that just a little bit closer to you, Mrs. Sawyer. Well, listen, two of the nicest people on earth. I've never heard anybody, and you worked for years in the Department of Planning, right?
Right.
For the city of Chicago. I've never heard an unkind word or a bad word about either one of you. And how long have you been married now, Teresa?
52 years. Be 53 at the end of this year.
And how, and what is your secret?
I like Ernest.
You, how did you all meet?
We met at one of my friend's houses. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised here in Chicago. So one of my dear friends, her brother was a roommate of Ernest's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we met there.
Roommate down in Arkansas at college?
No, right here in Chicago.
Okay, all right.
It was just sort of like once you meet somebody, your inner sense tells you that this is a great person.
Well, you're equally yoked.
Well, I like to think so.
You're equally yoked. And to raise these wonderful boys, I mean, Ernest, no one was more proud than when your son was accepted into the Naval Academy.
Right.
What was that like for you then and to see him where he is today?
Yeah, it was a very exciting time. It was something that he wanted to do. As you recall, I remember back you wrote an article about him, and he told you, I think Teresa told you about it, he wrote a letter to a recruiting officer. Mm-hmm. He was like 10 or 12 years old that he wanted to go into the military, into mm-hmm. an academy. And but he could have gone. He had scholarship offers to Georgetown, Villanova, a number of universities, but his passion was to be an officer in the United States Navy. And so he went to the United States Naval Academy, graduated with honors, and went on into the first Gulf War that he was involved in.
That was the shock and awe.
Right, and he was an intelligence officer in the United States Navy, officer. And then he went on now his career. He's a professor at Colorado College, and guess what his profession is? He's teaching race and politics.
Of course he is. And so, see, this is the thing. So you guys, obviously you did something right because you instilled service to your kids. And that wasn't real popular back in the day. But you just come from, I guess, this public servant type of environment. But you raised your children to do the same thing. And they, and he's not poor. He's making a good living, and he's done great things for this country. What was the key for that? Why did you think that that was an important quality, Teresa, for your boys to have?
I don't know that that was a conscious decision.
Okay.
I think having grown up here in Chicago myself and being a product of the public school system, mm-hmm. I believe then, and I believe now, that the more involved the parent is mm-hmm. with the thoughts of their children, not necessarily just what I think,
mm-hmm.
But what they think, and I think what is lacking today is that we don't get into the aspirations of our kids or ask them to have aspirations. And I think that in doing that, Ernest and I figured out how to ask those questions of our kids. And
what do you want to do?
What would you like to do?
What are you passionate about?
Yes.
What do you like?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then once you have that, you have a playbook as to how to help them sculpture that,
mm-hmm.
how to help them make that happen. I don't think either of us had, I mean, my parents,
it wasn't conscious.
My parents were factory workers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were not college educated. They had no idea of that kind of thing.
And your family was from Arkansas.
No, Alabama.
Alabama. Same difference.
Right. I think Alabama. Yeah, no, my father was a mortician. He was one of the first blacks to be licensed in the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up in a, you know, all of us, well, you know, there were six of us.
Right.
Very tight-knit family and really engaged in the community of Hale County in Alabama, which they call the Black Belt.
So let me ask you this. If you had school-age children now, Teresa.
Yes.
What do you think would be your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge would be to make sure, without a doubt, that I was on that school council.
Mm-hmm.
And also to make sure that the curriculum is done for all of the kids. I think there's so much lacking in terms of curriculum, and that's the reason why I say the school council, so that you have a voice in saying to the principal or to the administration, mm-hmm. if you will, I think that the lack of civics, I think the lack of the arts,
mm-hmm.
I think the lack of those types of things certainly hinder us, particularly in our community, it hinders us. I think that it's difficult when children have to travel so far, mm-hmm. for an education.
Absolutely.
And it deprives us of the warmth of a community. I grew up being able to walk to school,
right.
Shoop Elementary School.
Right.
I went to school with my next door neighbors. So
you went to school with the same people for 12 years.
That's right. So therefore,
see, that's what's missing.
We forged a relationship,
right.
in the community, and nobody was vying for different positions because we were all there together.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that I think that if I were raising children today, that I would be very focused on, I would be very vocal about,
mm-hmm.
them. But again, you cannot be vocal and stay at home. You have to be vocal and
you have to be present.
Be out front and be in the present, right. And you have to say to your children, we had sons. You know, society is not always that kind to black males.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, you have to many times take up the gauntlet for your own children.
You have to advocate for them.
You can't not leave them prey to everybody else's thoughts or
what they think is best for your children.
Or what they think is what your kid should be doing.
You know, when we come back, Ernest, because he was very into urban planning, Ernest. He spent, mm-hmm. his years, most of your working life, with a vision for our community. I want to know when you started to see that vision crack here in Chicago, mm-hmm. and what's behind it. It is 11:49 on the Talk of Chicago. I'm talking to two great Salvation Army Booth Award honorees, and that is Ernest and Teresa Sawyer. Just great citizens, great friends, just great people, and we'll be right back. We're talking to Teresa and Ernest Sawyer. And tell me how you first got involved with the Salvation Army. They're getting an award that is much deserving. But why, of all of the things you could get involved in, why the Salvation Army, Ernest?
Well, what happened is that I got involved in the Salvation Army. It was really coincidental to a point. Salvation Army received a bequest from the Ray and Joan Kroc Foundation of, I think it was, over $1 billion, mm-hmm. whatever it was, and to develop community centers around the United States that Joan Kroc after she had taken care of all of her family and friends and whatever she had to take care of.
She has an amazing story.
Right. And she left this $1.3 billion to the Salvation Army to develop community centers and distressed communities around the United States. I think there's supposed to be like 35 of them in various cities, but all supposed to be a heavy criteria communities where, as Cherise was saying, there was a lack of the arts, the lack of services in those communities. So the Salvation Army came to the city of Chicago with a plan to develop a Ray and Joan Kroc Community Center at about 47th and State Street in the Bronzeville community. And there that project ran into some opposition from the local leadership and the community there. And what happened was is that they were meeting with the city of Chicago and going through various avenues of what to do or how to structure this. And one of the planners in the city told them, you guys need to go see Ernest Sawyer. So I was in my office, which is at 100 North of Sal, right across the street from City Hall.
That
one
was
day.
The Department of Planning.
Right, Department of Planning. And one day, here all these uniformed Salvation Army officers was knocking at my door, and we sat down and had a conversation, and they introduced me to what it was they were trying to do and what they wanted to do. And so we started to help them and figure out how to get this project moved. And I thought, this is something that the city of Chicago really needs, and we have to get this done.
So you're really primarily the reason why we have that beautiful facility out there on 119th.
That is correct. I work with them and meeting with the various elected officials, community organizations, going through the process with city planning, putting the plan together. And as a result, we have a Ray and Joan Kroc Center at 119th and Loomis.
Wow. And not too far from where you once lived.
Right, 111th and Green.
Yeah, so you're still in the same area.
Right.
So, excuse me, do you go to the Kroc Center much?
I do, not as much as I would like to.
Because I know a lot of people that they do that every day.
Right. I don't go as much as I used to, but let me just tell you, I grew up in Morgan Park, so the location of it is very, very close to my heart. Growing up there, you know, we had park district services. Park district was probably my second home. And suddenly, you know, those kinds of things were not there. And so to have a facility such as the Ray and Joan Kroc Center was phenomenal. It was one of the greatest things. I took my mom before she passed away. And, you know, I could never have dreamed as a young girl growing up that I would be a part of being involved in something that would be that huge.
That's
in the
amazing.
Community. Mm-hmm. In the community.
I mean, just look at you, how your life just kind of goes full circle. And see, you married up when you married Teresa, right?
Right.
You know that, right?
Exactly.
A long time Chicago growing up in Morgan Park.
That's right.
You hit gold on that one. Absolutely.
Well, one of the things I just like to say, Perry, about the Salvation Army, one of the things that I was a board chair of the whole Chicago area of Salvation Army for the past 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things over the 15 to 16 years that I've been involved with them is to what I looked at the board of the Salvation Army, I didn't see many people there that looked like me, people of color. And so one of the things that I've been instrumental in doing and worked very hard at, getting businessmen like myself to look at the Salvation Army and come on the board.
Oh,
and I've got
wow.
people like Nate Sutton, who's a big supporter of the
yes.
Army now, Stephen Pugh, Dr. Barnes right down the street
yes.
is on
just
the Salvation
Army. He's opened his new office down the street.
Right, he was a Salvation Army board member. So I introduced them to the Salvation Army, and we're just trying to do more of that. Michelle Flowers is on our board now. So what we're doing is trying to get the Salvation Army and more African-American people involved and the programs and coming up with the agenda and the strategic long-term plan of how the Salvation Army is going to engage and support this city.
But it's an organization of integrity, and that is what, and they have maintained that that integrity over the years. And I can't imagine you or Teresa being a part of anything that if it did not have the reputation that it has. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You deserve it. And it has just been a hoop for me to see you guys again. I'm just happy as a pig, and you know what. But thank you so much, and continued success. I want to thank Annette Flournoy. I want to thank Titus and Sonia Tompkins and Keith Berry, and to all of our guests this week, and to all of our wonderful callers that call in. Just live your best life. You only give one shot at it. This couple has been married, you said, for 52 years?
52 years.
That is incredible. I can't stay with you 52 seconds. live your best life, because I know I am. And guess what? We'll see you on Monday, and prepare for that roundtable on that senior citizen home in Pill Hill. We're going to be talking about it next week. Reverend Pinckney, we've just got some great stuff. So have a good weekend, and don't forget to go to WVON.com and get your tickets for Speak, Sister Speak with Jennifer Lewis. It's going to be great, May 8th. And think about what you're going to be doing for On the Table. That's Tuesday, On the Table. Get involved in Chicago Community Trust. Have a great weekend.
WVON.com, the website. Check it out. News, traffic, and weather. Up next on the Talk of Chicago, 16.9 WVON. Talk of Chicago, and the voice of the nation is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.